Casual conversations in the Word of God next here on Abounding Grace. Join us. Through the preaching and teaching of God's Word, we as Christians are encouraged on a daily basis, and in part through the ministry here at Abounding Grace. Welcome to the broadcast, the ministry of United Reformed Church here in Linden. You know, there are times where preaching is needed, and there are times where gentle and strong encouragement and instruction in the Word of God are needed. And that's what today's program is all about. Won't you join us as we are instructed through some casual conversation out of God's Word? Our teacher and pastor now. Here's Pastor Chris Gordon with this edition of Abounding Grace.
Well, thank you for joining us today at Abounding Grace. I'm Pastor Chris Gordon with Pastor Wes Bradenhoff of the Langley Canadian Reformed Church. We are thankful that you're with us today and have tuned in to this edition of Abounding Grace, where we're going to take up the subject of Christian ministry. I'm sure today if we surveyed everyone out there who is listening and asked what are the many different ministries your church is involved with, you would have all of these different lists of things that your church does. In fact, I had an email from a lady not too long ago and said, if I were to come to the Linden United Reformed Church, what do you offer? She had all these lists of things that she expected. Let me start with this, and I'll have Wes comment on this. How would you rate the work of your church? A ministry scorecard might include the following categories. If your church has a children's ministry, give it 2 points. A welcome team ministry, 1 point. A tape ministry, 1 point. But if a tape and book ministry, 2. A couples ministry should be worth 2 points, as should an international student ministry, a mother's ministry, and a newlywed ministry, but subtract a point if it's a newlywed mother's ministry. A women's ministry should also receive 2 points, and in the spirit of equity, a men's ministry should receive the same. But if your men's group is an adjunct of Promise Keepers, don't give any points. You have to start it on your own. AIDS ministries, homeless ministries, and low-income housing ministries all receive 3 points, a score befitting a big church with many resources and talented members. Throw in 1 point each for the weekly Bible study, foreign missions, and the sacraments. 2 points for the latter if your church allows the laity to set up the Lord's Supper. Finally, add 1 point for a Sunday morning service, 2 points if you have both a contemporary and traditional service. Wes, that was from D.G. Hart in one of his articles on the Christian ministry. What's your initial response when you hear something like that?
It seems that today many people in our Christian communities and our churches have lost sight of what is most important in the ministry of the church, and that's simply the Word and the sacraments as means of grace, the things that God uses to change people's lives.
Right. We have so bogged down the Christian ministry and have held out all these other things as if they are of equal importance to the most important thing, the thing that is actually the things that the Lord has ordained that are actually able to change hearts, to save souls, to bring them from light into darkness. And instead, the focus is lost. And it's a very sad development in Christ's church today.
Exactly. You know, you look at the devaluation of preaching today. It goes hand in hand with the devaluation of the office of the minister as well. That people, when they go to church and they see a minister on the pulpit, they don't view him as a minister of the Word and sacraments. They don't view him as an ambassador of Christ. They view him as one of them sitting up there in front, giving his insights into the Word of God. And perhaps he has some good insights that he can share with us, but it's not the voice of Christ that is coming to the congregation through that man. And, you know, in connection with that, we also see a devaluation of the sacraments as means of grace, that people don't look at the sacraments as being something that God has instituted, that's something that God has given for the strengthening of our faith.
Yeah, and all of this, though nobody intends to, all of this leaves the impression when people walk in and they see some form of entertainment and all these things that are there to replace the old traditional, as they say, preaching of the Word and the sacraments, we've left the impression that this is our show and not God's, not God's great drama to save sinners. Instead, we've produced our own drama with the goal of tickling people's ears.
That's absolutely right. And I think people, too, their idea of the church becomes that the church is a human organization, that the church is a social club of people with like-minded interests, that the reason we go to church is because that's where we find people who share our religious hobby.
Right, and so we're asking the question today, what is Jesus' design for ministry? Mm-hmm. I mean, that should be a question that every church wants. A man was once giving a speech at a seminary graduation, and he stood up at the students and he said, "Look, what would be the worst thing that could happen to you? You could go to hell. Next worst thing would be you and your entire congregation." All of this was being said with the background of what should we be doing in ministry. He stopped and he said, "If that's the case, preach the word in season, out of season. Stop asking what we need to do. You know what to do. Go preach the word."
Yeah, preach the gospel of Christ. That's Christ and Him crucified.
So when we ask this question, what did Jesus design? We have a pretty clear design of it in Matthew chapter 28 in the Great Commission.
"All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen."
First thing that stands out there, Wes, is this statement, "all authority." Whose church is this?
It belongs to Jesus Christ. It's His church, not ours. And I think that's what people really have to get through their heads, is that the church belongs to Christ. It's not a human organization. It doesn't come with human rules. It's not a club of people with like-minded interests. It's a church that has been gathered by Jesus Christ.
And given to Him as those purchased by His blood. These are His purchased possession. And so whatever He's about ready to say here, He's saying, "It's mine. I'm in control of it. All authority has been given to me. I'm seated. And so now here is my design for the church until I come again to take you home. And lo, I am with you always." He will send His Spirit to be with the church to be faithful to what He is going to commission right here. So mm-hmm. What does He commission for the church today? What's the first thing there, Wes, that's outlined?
Well, make disciples of all the nations is the key imperative or the key command in this passage. It's not the first one. In our English translation, it says "go therefore." But if you look at this in the Greek, the "go therefore," it should be translated "going therefore, make disciples of all the nations." The going is incidental. The key thing here is discipleship. That's what the church is about. The church is about making disciples of all the nations. And as an aside, we should mention the fact that this passage is not addressed to individual believers. I think many times people look at this passage and they interpret it as if Jesus is speaking directly to them personally and individually. He wasn't when these words were spoken. He was speaking to the apostles. Still today, He speaks these words to His church. He doesn't speak them to every individual believer personally. So keeping that in mind, the command comes to the church to make disciples of all the nations. And then alongside of that comes baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, Trinitarian baptism, and then also teaching them to observe all things that Christ has commanded.
You know, Jesus laid down this whole design as He taught His disciples as to what this ministry would be once He was lifted up from the earth. And you see that come to fruition in Acts, where that first sermon was preached. Peter preached a sermon and 3,000 souls were added. That is how He discipled. He proclaimed the gospel. And notice that in Mark chapter 2, that's exactly what Jesus did. "Let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth." So the proclamation of the gospel was the means to make disciples.
That is precisely right, Chris. And we see that in the parallel passages in the other Gospels as well. The parallel passages with the Great Commission. For instance, at the end of Mark 16, you were just mentioning Mark 2. Well, if we go to the end of that Gospel, Christ says, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." And we have to be very clear, what is the nature of that preaching? The word that's used there in Greek is referring to a type of preaching, to a type of speaking, communicating that is authoritative. It's heralding the gospel. It's acting on behalf of Jesus Christ, speaking with authority, speaking clearly and directly to people about the gospel of Christ. And, you know, today there are all these different ideas of what preaching is. Well, in the Bible, preaching is, it's a monologue. It's one man speaking to people, and that's the way it is in the scriptures.
And the Bible said, you know, this is what we're getting at. Are all men called to go out and baptize? No, this is specifically given to the church to do, those commissioned and set apart. Jesus was looking at his disciples standing there who would then be sent out as apostles to baptize and preach the word. There are certain special offices laid aside in the New Testament and in this day of grace where the Lord sets apart certain men to herald the gospel and to baptize. And we see that in Romans chapter 10. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And listen to this. And how shall they preach unless they are sent? Mm-hmm. The Lord has to send preachers. Mm-hmm. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. So the Lord sets apart. Not everyone is gifted in this gift to be a preacher of the gospel. Read Ephesians 4. You have these specific offices laid out for that end. So you have those preaching, you have those who administer the administer baptism. Is that the whole world?
No, obviously not. It's meant for certain specific offices in the church, specifically the office of the minister of the word and sacraments.
Now, it's not saying you as an individual Christian shouldn't go share your faith. Of course you should.
No, there's a difference made in the New Testament between witnessing, which is a responsibility of every believer, and preaching, which is specifically the responsibility of those who are ordained to that particular task. And I think in connection with that, we should also mention the office of every believer. The threefold office of every believer includes the calling for us to be prophets. Just as Christ was a prophet proclaiming the word of God, teaching the people about the word of God, so also believers are called to confess Christ to everyone around them, to witness to what Christ has done for all his people and also for them individually.
Here's the point today. We have all these things called ministry that aren't. That's the sad thing. And what it's done is undermine the value and the place that God has given to the local church to herald the gospel and administer the sacraments. That's why you have churches full of people who don't appreciate these things today. Because everything else under the sun is labeled ministry other than what Christ has told the church to do. Let's not lose these things, but hold specially to them as the Lord has given them as means of grace to proclaim. And you do that every Sunday at the Langley Canadian Reformed Church. Tell us about it.
9:30 and 2 o'clock is when we meet on Sundays. People can find more information about our church online at www.langleycanrc.org. You can also give me a phone call, 604-220-7718.
Thanks for joining us today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to richly bless you.
Well, we need to close out our broadcast here, but we do look forward to joining you next time we get together as we continue our look at God's Word, that we might grow in Christ and be mutually encouraged. This has been Abounding Grace, the ministry extension of United Reformed Church of Linden, with our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon. Copies of what you hear on Abounding Grace are available. You need only call or write to us for the details. Our phone number, 360-318-0429. That's 360-318-0429. And as you contact us, remember, we're available on this radio station in part through your partnership with us. As you link arms with us financially and prayerfully, we're able to continue the ministry here on this radio station, encouraging you and others in Christ. Would you prayerfully consider how you might partner with us? We thank you in advance. If you'd like to know more about United Reformed Church of Linden, Abounding Grace, who we are, what we believe, worship opportunities here at the church, stop by our website, lindenurc.com. Again, lindenurc.com. If you're joining us for worship, we meet at 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. on Sundays at 8650 Benson Road here in Linden, Washington. Directions are available at lindenurc.com or by calling 360-318-0429. We do thank you for joining us and trust we'll see you again next time we get together for another broadcast of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon.